Welcome to AM Best Audio.
With the recent CrowdStrike incident that forced the cancellation of thousands of flights, the shutdown of several broadcast operations, and several other industry headaches, there's been no shortage of news about cyber incidents lately. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to David Jarajotis. He's the president of brokerage and head of insurance at Flow Specialty. David, so glad you could join us today.
John, great to be here.
David, I want to talk about CrowdStrike more in a minute, but before we do, Flow Specialty just released its mid-year cyber insurance state of the market report. What were some of the findings there?
I think the marketplace is cautiously optimistic. It's certainly an area of a lot of green space for both carriers and brokers alike. There are still a lot of first-time buyers, a lot of opportunity to grow your premium with clients. But with that said, there certainly has to be some caution that's taken and really some due diligence in terms of building out the portfolio. You know, while cyber liability continues to grow significantly, we're talking double digits year over year, carriers have to have their eye on profitability, good risk rounding in terms of the size of their book, the types of insureds that they're taking on. So for brokers, it's certainly a huge opportunity because, again, it really represents an opportunity to grow a new area of business. Carriers have to be a little bit more cautious in terms of how they write it. We're seeing many entrants come into the marketplace, pairing together true cybersecurity services with the insurance offering. And I think that's something that carriers are trying to get their arms around. How can they lower the risk for clients that they're writing? How can they diversify a bit more and not just write some of the higher hazard exposures, you know, looking at public entity, large healthcare operations, but how can they get their hands on some of that really small transactional SMB type business? So it's a tricky situation. It's certainly an area of significant growth, but it has to be done balanced and very cautiously.
So I guess the caution has to be because of the threat landscape. Has that changed in any way over the past year or so?
Well, if anything, we're just seeing a continued acceleration of ransomware. We're seeing a continued acceleration of supply chain attacks. And I know we're going to get into the whole Microsoft CrowdStrike, which wasn't a cyber attack. But with that said, it still places a significant focus on vendor management, on those within your technology supply chain. That's an area that has grown really of growing concern for everybody involved within the cyber marketplace. You know, you look at the MOVEit file transfer attack that took place just last year, over 600 organizations were impacted by that. You look at CDK that just happened relatively recently, you know, 15,000 auto dealers within the United States relying on that technology to manage their clients, you know, servicing auto parts, all of the backroom operations for running an auto dealership. You know, that was a ransomware attack that certainly had cascading effects. And of course, you look at CrowdStrike, Microsoft, again, not a cybersecurity incident, but we're talking about threats and a focus on the whole vendor supply chain.
Generally speaking, is cyber a profitable line of business for insurers, or does it just kind of vary from insurer to insurer?
It really varies from insurer to insurer. You know, so many different markets view cyber risk from a pricing standpoint very differently. You can have the same insured that you send out to five different markets, five different carriers, and you can get back five very different responses in terms of the coverage that's being offered and the way in which they evaluated and price that particular account. So I think it does certainly vary from one carrier to the next. Some carriers have really greater insight into the risk. You look at some of these, not even newer at this point, but some of the insurtechs that have been around for a little bit, they're able to get a greater peek behind the curtain. They're looking at the security posture of organizations. They're looking at the type of software that they're using, whether they're applying the most recent patches and security updates. That's something that you just simply can't get from a traditional paper application that's completed.
Are you finding that any of the carriers are getting out of the cyber game at all?
Without question. You certainly see, we saw a big pullback going back to between 2020 and 2022 when we had the first really hard cyber insurance marketplace. We saw a complete overhaul in the way in which carriers were underwriting and evaluating risk. Many more stringent applications were being applied and how they were looking at accounts, what they were willing to bring on their portfolio, the type of security posture that they were requiring for organizations. And even since then, since the market has softened, more entrants have come back in, more MGAs, more carriers opening back up to the types of accounts that they're looking to write. there's always an ebb and flow. Carriers kind of adjusting their appetite, you know, changing the pricing, you know, their ability to offer certain sublimits or insuring agreements. It's in constant flux.
You know, I always think you get a lot of insight into what the reinsurance markets are doing by line of business. How are the reinsurance markets viewing cyber?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually had the privilege of being involved with the reinsurance treaty renewal for an insurtech that is involved in the technology and cyber insurance space. And they are looking at the portfolios very closely. Cyber war was certainly a huge part of the conversation. Reinsurers are really worried about aggregation of risk. They're worried about a singular event taking place that could have far-reaching cascading impacts on the portfolio of business that they're reinsuring. So cyber war was certainly a big part of the conversation I had during this last renewal discussion with a number of reinsurance supporters. So that's something that you're going to continue to see carriers, you know, paying close attention to. What does the cyber war exclusion look like? What type of carve back do they have with regard to terrorism? That's a big part of the conversation for every reinsurer right now.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So let's get to CrowdStrike. The incident happened practically on the eve of Flow Specialty releasing its report. Do you expect this incident to change anything in the cyber market?
You know, I really don't believe that this is going to have a significant impact on the cyber insurance market. I think what it will certainly have an impact on is how we're viewing business interruption loss and whether carriers are willing to stomach a true system failure and not an actual malicious attack or malicious event that's intended to cause harm. I'm curious to see what carriers are going to do going forward. Many of them right now are willing to include that system failure. It's something you have to pay very close attention to, but I'd certainly say it's not the norm. So while I don't think that this impact is going to have a significant ripple effect on the availability of cyber insurance, I think carriers will be looking much closely at how they're insuring the business interruption loss.
So, David, I wouldn't dare ask you your long-term view of the cyber market because I think that's a nearly impossible task. But what do you think the near-term outlook is for cyber?
Yeah, I think it's very positive overall. I think cyber insurance is an area where, again, it represents a lot of first-time buyers. I think there is tremendous value that can be offered, especially from the small, mid-size enterprise space. Large insurers with much larger retentions, you know, assuming more risk, it can be done very thoughtfully in putting large towers together. Again, it comes down to thoughtful underwriting, having risks, you know, depending on the sector that you're in. If you're a public entity risk, if you're a utility, if you're involved with, you know, water works for a particular county or a region or an area, I think having cyber war and the fallout from some type of attack like that is certainly critically important. Now, if you're a small retailer, if you're a tiny manufacturer, is it just as critical? Absolutely not. So I think carriers can very thoughtfully apply the amount of coverage to the type of risk that they're writing. You can have brokers advising properly in the things that matter. Is business interruption going to be critical? Absolutely. Is having systems failure going to be something that's important? Without question, you need to pay close attention to that. What type of limit are you getting for social engineering losses and cybercrime? Those are things that carriers and brokers have to pay very close attention to. You know, and of course, ransomware. What type of limits are you providing across the board? Is it duty to pay, duty to reimburse? These are all very important questions that brokers have to consider, that carriers have to look at when they're putting coverage terms and conditions out for the type of business that they're writing.
David, so glad you could speak with us today.
John, thanks for having me.
That was David Jarjotis, President of Brokerage and Head of Insurance for its Flow Specialty. And I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.